Hello, Internet, and welcome to Old Geek, Young Geek. I am Scott Pell. With me, as always, is Steven Johnson, and returning guest, Nicole Zavalich. Yay!
Yay, confetti!
Yay, woo! So, let's talk about a thing that happened recently that was called Comic-Con. I think I've heard of this before. That's in Nicole, you were
San
there.
Diego,
I was there.
Yeah. San Diego Comic-Con. How was it?
Oh, that thing, yeah, it was great. It was my eighth Comic-Con in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the first year I'd gone not as press. I'd gone as professional, so it means I had to pay for my badge. So right off the bat, just downhill from there.
Wait, you went as just like a civilian just going to Comic-Con?
No, I didn't go as a civvy. Oh, God, no. No, because I'm a developer now, so I don't go as press.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
So I went as a trade professional.
Awesome.
So I had to buy my badge, which is, like, no big deal, because I love going. But, like, when you think about how much money you spend at Comic-Con, like, oh, my God, I bought so much stuff. Just art and, like, sunglasses and, like, cups. Just the dumbest. And then I would wait in line for hours for pins. I'm retarded.
Did you get some nice pins, though?
Oh, my God. I got all these bear pins for the new Cartoon Network show called We Bear Bears.
You know, Dexter was watching that this morning.
I can't wait to see it. I don't have cable, so I'm just, like, waiting for a few episodes to be up, and then I'll binge it.
Mm-hmm. Dexter really likes it. It gets good reviews from Dexter.
So... Steven, you've been to Comic-Con before.
I have been to many Comic-Cons. I've probably been to five or six Comic-Cons.
And from my impression, your tone is rather negative, and you're just a whole curmudgeon about the whole thing.
Yeah, but I don't like Comic-Con. I like other conventions that are similar to Comic-Con. There's a comic convention in Los Angeles that they run, I think, every month that I really did go to. I like going to... I went to Monster Palooza, which is a con. I like PAX. I like any number of cons, but I do not like Comic-Con. Because I don't like crowds.
Why don't you like... Yeah.
I don't like huge crowds, and I just don't... I don't want to be raining on the Comic-Con parade, because I know people are very excited about it, but it makes me feel like I'm being marketed to constantly, and I really don't like that.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like about it.
Okay. So we have someone, Nicole, who enjoys Comic-Con, someone who dislikes Comic-Con, Steven Johnson, and someone who's never been to Comic-Con.
We're covering all sides of the angle, or all angles of the... Oh, man.
This situation seems very similar to the E3 episode that we had, or the pre-E3 episode that we had with Nicole on as well.
That's true.
So... I guess if each of you could make a case, or rather explain from your point of view, what is Comic-Con? Like, what is your experience going to Comic-Con?
Sure, I'll go first. Okay, so, Steven's not wrong. There's tons of crowds. There's so many people, and you are just smelling BO constantly. And it takes, like, a half hour to walk, like, 7 feet because of the amount of people. But, like, you're totally being marketed to constantly. But, like, if you put those negatives aside, then you are just, like, surrounded by people who love the things that you love. And you're just encouraged to nerd out with people and just be as, like, silly nerdy as possible. And everyone's so excited to be there. So there's a really good vibe there. And you can do whatever you want there, because there's events that are outside that are promoting shows that are like obstacle courses. There's actually like 4 obstacle courses this year, and there was laser tag. So there's lots of things if you want to do more active things. And then there's panels that you can like interact with people who create things that you love and learn about what's coming next from the people who are creating things that you love. And then there's the con where you can see what's next and buy all the t-shirts. And then the parties have open bars.
Come on. Okay, well, the parties...
Good luck.
Yeah, I know. I did enjoy... the things I did enjoy about going to Comic-Con were, like, I do like I love the cosplay. Like, I like seeing people dressed up in costumes and the incredible amount of work that they do. And I like the people as individuals, but the crowds of people, I just really can't... I can't get behind. And the first time I went to Comic-Con was in the 90s. That's how old I am. And even then, I wanted to go see some panel for some movie. And I wish I could remember what it was, because it'd probably be really funny, whatever it was. But I was like, okay, great, this panel's at 1 o'clock. I showed up at, like, 1:30, and, like, there were so many people in line to see this panel that nobody was getting in, and the people had been there for, like, 8 hours waiting in a line to see this panel. And I was like, seriously, you wait in line for 8 hours so that you can be marketed to in a very uncomfortable chair. Like, that's the idea of this thing. And
so that experience just marred the rest of Comic-Con for you?
No, because that is the majority of Comic-Con. I don't want to come across as super cynical, because I'm really not that cynical.
Well,
but I feel as if Comic-Con has gone from something that was for enthusiasts and fans to something that is for people who market things. And I just hate.
But they market to the enthusiasts.
I know, but I get no joy out of being a market. Like I just feel like if it were free to go to Comic-Con, and it were paid for through the marketing that is done to the people who attend, it would be one thing. But if you pay like the hundreds of dollars it costs to go to some convention, so that people can bombard you with commercials, it's like, come on, man, really? Like,
it's like paying for cable,
which
I don't do.
Well, see, but it's not like paying for cable, because cable, you're paying for the programming on cable. I'm paying to watch season 2 of True Detective.
Yeah, but now you're going to Comic-Con, so well, A, that was a mistake.
I mean, yeah, that's not an argument in my favor at all.
But B, you can choose which market you are, at least. I mean, if we're going to put it in this marketing scope,
sure.
There's a lot of people trying to sell you things, but chances are you're there because you're already buying. You're already on the Supernatural fan train or the Adventure Time fan train. Like, you already are being marketed to, and you want more of it. So really, it's just like a bunch of drug addicted kids, except the drug is nerd.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Like, on one side, it's a safe environment where you can geek out and be yourself and just be wacky and like be the nerd that you truly are, and like experience like new things and get to see the future of whatever fandom you're a part of, or experience some new fandoms, get to meet new people who are also nerds, and like you get to ask them like, oh, what's this fandom that you're into, and like you get to ask them questions about this. On the other hand, there is a massive amount of people at San Diego Comic-Con, and it seems that if you want to see a panel, like, you got to show up crazy early. Now, I want to talk about this video that I saw by The Game Theorist, the YouTube channel that's very popular and they're really cool. They did a video about Comic-Con, and pretty much they said, if you want to experience the panels, you're waiting in line for a majority of the Comic-Con. Now, that doesn't sound like very, very much fun. In my experience of conventions, most conventions are like flea markets, but for nerds, because it's just a whole bunch of booths and just artists and people just like, hey, look at my stuff.
And that
I
kind
made.
Of thing
Would
is amazing. Like that kind of that's what I was talking
yeah.
about. Like I went to, like I said earlier, the last con I went to was Monsterpalooza. It's a horror con that's held here in Los Angeles a couple times a year, and it's amazing. Like you can go there, and if you admire somebody and they're speaking, you can go talk to them and see their work up close of like special effects artists and. And,
yeah.
you know, like, find really obscure DVDs, and
yeah.
it's just all together an enjoyable experience to attend. Where Comic-Con, you're not going to meet
yeah.
anybody that you admire. You're not going to be able to find anything that, I don't know, just the whole thing. I just hate that. I hate
yeah.
Comic-Con. I mean, you know what, I was trying to be even-handed earlier, but I am going to stop now and just be totally honest. I hate Comic-Con. Thank you.
That's fair. But if you Scott want to go one day, I would suggest making a plan, because I don't think
the game theorists.
I always want to say game travelers. I always call them the game travelers. It's so weird I do that. But the game theorists, I think they're right. I think a lot of the convention is spent at panels and waiting for panels if that's what you want to do. But that's okay.
Yeah,
because
those are like the big events.
Yeah,
those are the big events where like people get on stage and like the like big stars and the directors and stuff like that. That's the big event.
Yeah, and there's 4 days of the convention. So if you go through the schedule, which is released, you know, plenty of time ahead of the con, go through the schedule, pick the panels you want to see, set aside time to wait in line for them, and then go down to the show floor afterwards, because the show floor really isn't a four-day thing. You can go down up in, you know, every single aisle, you know, in 3-4 hours, and that's, you know, waiting in line for things. And, you know, and I waited in line in the show floor to, like, buy a Mondo poster or to buy, like, Katie Cook art prints. Like, there's if you schedule your time right, you're not going to feel like you're wasting your time.
Hmm.
I saw a panel in Hall H this year.
Did you?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. But I really shouldn't have said that because I totally cut.
Did you really?
I legit cut. My roommate was, like, about to go into Hall H. Not about to. Like, he was, like, they cut the line off for a bunch of panels, but he was, like, the next batch. So I got in line with him, and I waited for, like, 2 hours still. It wasn't like I got in and got straight into the hall. I still waited on the grass for 2 hours. But, yeah, I saw Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. All
right, so you know what? I'm thinking back on my times at Comic-Con, and there were a couple of things that stuck out in my mind and that I've never forgotten as being really interesting, cool things. And that was, I was early for something that I had to attend, and I was in the panel before it, and it was a panel for some anime thing that I had never heard of, that very few people had ever heard of, and there were maybe 100 people in the room. But they were probably the 100 biggest fans in the entire world of this particular thing that I had never heard of and never heard of since. And the cast was there, and it was as if Elvis had entered the building, and it was 1956, and it was the most amazing thing. And this was just the people who did the American voiceover of this Japanese thing. And the fans were asking these in-depth questions, and you could tell that the actors on stage, the voiceover people, were totally blown away by it because they're just L.A. voiceover people that got probably a low-paying gig doing voiceover. And all of a sudden, they're like rock stars. And I was kind of amazed by that whole thing. Like, I was just like, wow, that's really cool. For these people that are into this super obscure thing, they have found their people, and they're among their people. And so, okay, yeah. I get it. I just think, and this is maybe, I'm coming out of a specific closet right now, but I've been thinking about this since we were talking about Comic-Con. I don't think I'm that much of a nerd. That's all I got.
No.
I can't think. No, I mean, I'm a nerd in a lot of ways, but I'm not a nerd in that I'm so into some entertainment thing that I have to have all the t-shirts and all. And I never was. Like, it's not because I'm old.
Okay.
But you did just go to Monsterpalooza.
I did go to Monsterpalooza, but you know what? That's the thing.
It's like, nerd doesn't...
Yeah, but now you're adding me a little bit, because I went to Monsterpalooza because I know a lot of people in the horror community, and you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not...
Because you're a horror
Sure.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah, you're still a nerd, Steven. Okay. It's just not like... Nerd doesn't apply to, like, just Marvel and DC or, like, whatever. Like, that's, like, in general, nerd culture is, like, video games and comic books and obscure science fiction movies or fantasy movies or whatever.
Right.
Like, you could be a nerd about anything. We've talked about this before.
But,
like
if you're a nerd about like action movies from the 1970s, which I kind of am.
Sure.
Okay. Then
just as a pure example, whatever.
You're not a nerd in the general sense of the word. Like, you would get nothing out of Comic-Con if you're into you know, like Kurt Russell movies from 1982. Like, there's nothing.
Okay.
There's nothing there.
Sure,
for you,
but like,
you know?
that's not your thing. That's like, Comic-Con isn't your thing.
But
so
to be fair, there was a Mondo print this year of Kurt Russell from Escape from New York. So,
okay,
points that match.
I should have called.
So you missed out. Yeah.
But that's the thing. Is like, I think the idea of that is cool, but I don't need to go see the thing. And this is, again, something we've talked about before. Another thing is, if I'm excited for a movie or a game or something, I really don't want to know anything about it. I just want to have the experience of playing it. Like, I don't want to know anything about Fallout 4. That's the only game that I really want to play, and I don't want to know anything about it. I'm just going to buy it and play it cold because I just want to experience it. I don't want to see parts of it. I don't want to know how the controls are before the game's released. I don't want to know any information about how the voice acting was done. I just want to experience the thing. I don't want any of the ancillary material. Because I feel like it takes away from it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, like, when I went to E3 this year, I didn't really research, like, who was going to be there, what was going to be where, and all that stuff. I experienced it fresh and new, and it was wonderful. And I apparently won E3.
You did. You're the winner of the entire thing. Nicole, did you know that, that Scott was made into a meme this year that was widely spread on the internet because of his attendance at
E3? I do. I found out at E3. Like, I think Jake came up to me and he was like, "Can you believe this?" And I was like, "What? That was him?"
You're famous, Scott.
It's pretty interesting. I keep on getting friend requests from people whom I have no idea. They're from the opposite side of the world. They're like, "Hey, you're Shenmue guy." Anyhow, so about Comic-Con, like,
we should be friends.
Enough about me. So, like, one thing I really like about Comic-Con are the cosplayers. That's something that, like, I really respect and admire, and I just think that it's awesome. I don't want to go to Comic-Con or, like, any kind of, like, convention like that unless I want to go and cosplay. Have either of you done any kind of cosplay or anything like that?
No.
Or, like, talk to cosplayers?
I've talked to cosplayers.
It's not my thing.
Yeah. It's a little bit your thing, though, Nicole. You've done it before, though, haven't you?
Here's the thing. Like, whenever I talk about, because I do, like, you know, like, random interviews over the years, and, like, about cosplay and stuff, and people will always be like, "Oh, do you do cosplay?" And I always say no, because I don't. And then someone will always say, "Yeah, you do." And then they'll, like, bring up a Halloween costume. And I'm like, "You guys, Halloween is not cosplay."
Well, what about cosplay when it's in the context of doing, like, some professional video of some kind? Because we did some videos at G4 where you were someone from the Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Remember that funny video we did from the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, that was so silly. Oh, my God.
That was my favorite thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely was in costume for, like, sketches and stuff. I think I was Squirrel Girl for X-Play once. But, like, I don't consider that cosplay. I consider that a sketch. No.
Right, yeah, that, you're right. That's performing. That's not play.
I'm a performer.
Yeah. I'm an actress. Right.
No, I'm an actor. I don't want to, like...
It's not play. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. And I know this is going to be controversial, but, like, it kind of, I don't know if annoys me is the right word, but Comic-Con gets so congested because people are constantly stopping cosplayers for pictures, and cosplayers are constantly doing, like, impromptu photo shoots in the middle of the show floor or in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
And it's like, it causes so much backup that it's hard to not get frustrated with cosplayers at Comic-Con because it's just so crowded as it is.
Especially when you have to be somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, and it's unsafe at a lot of times. Like, there was a time this past Comic-Con, 8 days ago. like, what day is it? But, like, you know, people were trying to cross the street because cars were coming, but, like, cosplayers wanted to do, like, an impromptu photo shoot by a palm tree. So and then, like, a bunch of people stopped to also take pictures. And it was just, like, it just felt really unsafe. Like, I wish conventions did more to accommodate the fact that cosplayers want to take pictures in their costumes, and Anime Expo usually does this thing where the LA Convention Center has two huge halls, and for Anime Expo they do one hall that's for, you know, selling stuff, showing stuff off, and the other hall is they set up a ton of photo booth areas, like sets. They build full-on sets for people to take pictures at in their anime costumes, and it really keeps the, like, the congestion down of just, and it just feels a lot more safe and fluid and better.
Yeah, that would work out. I mean, there's a ton of things that
there's no space at Comic-Con for that, but it would be great.
See, that's the other thing about Comic-Con is there's a ton of things that you could think of off the top of your head that you're like, well, you could make this more comfortable for people, and you could do it really easily, but they just don't, they can't or they won't, or there's some logistic problem that I don't know about.
Comic-Con needs a suggestion box. Is what it sounds like. They need a suggestion box so that they can improve upon their layout.
Well, I mean, it's weird because it's hard to complain and say, like the thing that you're saying is, well, so many people like it that it's not likable anymore. You know what I mean? Like, and I get the irony of that kind of that reason not to like something. But I just
don't think
like
there's any more space.
Get down to it. I don't like not having space. I don't like when people don't smell good. When there's a critical mass of people who don't smell good, like, you're right. I mean, I know it's cliched to say it, and maybe it's insulting, but it kind of does smell bad at Comic-Con.
Well, that many bodies in a tight space, like, that's a problem.
Yes.
That's going to create, like, you know, it's going to create some issues.
Yeah, and a lot of those people are going to have been standing outside in line for Hall H. And, yeah. I mean, it was warm in San Diego. It was, like, probably around 80 degrees, between 75 and 80. And, you know, a lot of people are wearing backpacks, and they're trying to get places fast. Like, there's a lot of situations where sweat is happening.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
But that having been said, a similar
that
crowd
said,
that was...
you should definitely go.
Yeah, Scott, you should totally go. It's great. No, but if I really think positively about, like, the things that I like most about the Comic Cons that I've attended, it is honestly that when I would go, it would be with the people that I worked with at G4, and I really liked them, and I really liked the times that we got to hang out and just hang out at Comic Con. Like, that was super mm-hmm. fun.
That's true, though. Like that stuff was good. The best part is hanging out with people that you like.
That's true, yeah. But then all the other stuff, though, it's just like, well, why? Like, because it's weird. Like, we never hang out ever with any of the people from G4, or very rarely. But yeah, we always talk about how we should.
We do. We have, like, this ongoing email thread.
Emails going around. They're like,
that's,
hey,
like,
we should get together this Friday.
Oh, I can't.
I can't because
this. Kids got the dentist appointment.
But hey, if there's some, you know, big convention of nerds, then, you know.
But that was a nice thing. Like, everyone either wants to go to Comic-Con because they love it or because it's their job. So it's just, like, a good chance to see people who otherwise, it's hard to make time to see people. You know, it's just hard. So, like, it was a good way to meet up with people who have to be there.
That's true. Did you see interesting people there?
No. No, I'm just kidding. No, I went down with a bunch of friends, and I saw tons of friends there, and it's like you see a bunch of people that you only see at conventions, but they're your friends, you know, even though you only see them a few times a year.
Or, you know what, I'm remembering, like, running into people that I hadn't seen in years.
Yeah, no, that happened. It totally happened. Yeah. And then it's like, oh my god, how are you? Oh my god, how have you been? How was your con? All right, well, next year, same time, same place.
There you go. Maybe I'm just, maybe I should change my mind and go to the next one. I can't.
I don't know, man. All the things that you don't like about it are just getting worse.
I know. You gotta understand, I didn't like these things, like I said, in the 90s. I had the same feeling, and it was half the size in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I had the same sort of sense of, like, this is just not for me. Like, this is just not my, this is not my thing.
Well, in 2018, San Diego is up for, I guess, bid again, because they have the convention till then, and then after that, in theory, it could go somewhere else. If it went somewhere else, do you think it would, like, rekindle your interest?
Where's it gonna go? Las Vegas.
Well, I mean, there's
right?
potential. The rumors are LA, which is retarded. There's never gonna be enough room in LA.
Yeah, I don't know
where
they
think. Oh, LA is so big. No, it's not. It's a bunch of little tiny cities.
Yeah,
LA Convention Center couldn't handle it.
Yeah, the E3 convention. No way.
I mean, like, maybe, no, it's not big enough. It's not big enough, and there's not enough hotels down there.
That's true. But Las Vegas would be the, like, obvious choice.
Oh, that'd be so gross, though. Vegas in July.
I know, Vegas is
And, like,
gross.
Vegas is so seedy. Like, if you've been lately, like, I walk down the streets with, like, my family, like, clearly my parents and my younger sister and younger brother, and, like, men come running up to you, handing you, like, porn cards and, like, yelling things at you, and, like, it's just such an It's so unfamily friendly.
It is not family friendly, right? And Comic-Con draws a lot of kids, you know. So
it does. It really a lot of families and a lot of people who don't. And even if you're an adult, I think it draws a lot of people who don't particularly like having porn shoved in their face in front of their friends.
I don't think there are that many people who like having porn shoved in their face. Like, there's not too many people that are excited to get those cards in Las Vegas, because I know the people you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know who that's.
Wait, you mean the woman will come to my room in a half an hour? Perfect. Just what I was looking for.
Oh, man. Good time. Oh, I remember last time I went, a bunch of the cards had Sarah Jean Underwood on them.
Oh.
And, like, they weren't for her.
Right,
like, they were obviously people who just stole her image. And I was like, this is awkward because I'm going to see her at work.
See her later and go, did you get a different job, Sarah? Did you get a new gig? Oh,
That's a side note.
Yep. So anyhow, since I didn't really attend and I wasn't really on the beat of Comic-Con, I do know that there were several leaked trailers, and that I wasn't too surprised at because everyone has a camera phone and everyone could record those. But I remember...
Even though they remind you so many times when you're in Hall H, you can't take video of this. I don't even know. It's kind of funny. Like, why do they remind you all that number of times? Because they must know that everyone's going to ignore this.
Yeah, people are going to do it anyway. And I think that for the Suicide Squad trailer, DC released a statement like, our trust has been betrayed by our fans.
It was like multiple paragraphs.
Yeah, and it was just like, you betrayed us.
We left $100 in the street and somebody took it.
Yeah, it's pretty much like what happened. And like, I don't know how you don't expect something like that to happen.
Well, a lot of people posted like pictures of DC's response and then, you know, put it next to Marvel's response when this happened to them last year. And, you know, where DC released, like, a paragraph after paragraph of, like, official legal statements, Marvel just tweeted, damn it, Hydra. like, what a difference in companies.
I mean, like, I prefer Marvel over DC, even though I'm not, like, a huge comic book guy, but I prefer Marvel just because they're more, they're silly and they're more colorful, and it seemed a lot easier going, because, like, yeah, you can't really, like, expect... nerds, I mean, like, not really nerds, but just, like, people in general to be, like, professional and courteous, because, like, people are just gonna do it, and they're gonna put up online, it's gonna go crazy, because if you have, like, leaked trailer on your YouTube video, it's gonna get views. So
yeah.
It's funny, like, I don't know why they would even pretend that they didn't know that was gonna happen, right? I mean...
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you don't, like, think that they were genuinely surprised.
Well, I think the idea is that they like to pretend that they're rewarding people for staying in their Comic-Con panels and, like, waiting in line for them. And, like, this, because in the DC statement, they said things like, this was supposed to be a Comic-Con exclusive for the people who, you know, went the extra mile to wait in line. And because of this, people who stay at Comic-Con, you know, aren't as special or something. So I think that's, at least that's what they're saying is kind of the mentality.
I hate to play game behind the game, but I wonder what was going on behind the scenes there. Like, I wonder if they made a bunch of promises to big Hollywood production companies and or studios and said, like, no, it's not getting out there. We're just going to show it at Comic-Con, and it's not going
to be thousands of people.
That could be it. Like, that could be it. Like, maybe they had, like, some pre-established things, but, like, I don't know, like, that kind of brings up, like, an exclusivity type of deal. Because, like, E3, like, even E3 is like, we got this new game, here's a trailer immediately, we'll put that up on the web. Like, they still haven't released the Deadpool trailer from Comic-Con, and, you know...
I've seen it, though.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean,
or,
I saw it,
like,
online.
You watched the video, but, like... But it got taken down, and, like, I don't know. Like, should that be kept under wraps, or... I don't know. Like... Because it's difficult for the common man or woman to get out to Comic-Con. So, yeah.
That's true.
Right.
And I don't know, should we be depraved of that because we simply don't have the means?
Well, the other side of the coin is that, like, you know, if you want to do something special for the true fans, that's where you find them, at Comic-Con, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but I mean, that's they made a trailer, and all they did was give it to the fans early. Like, if they really want to show the fans something different, they'll show some exclusive behind the scenes footage or something like that. Like, there's a lot you can do to show fans that they're appreciated for being there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like Q&A with the cast and director and all that.
Right, because
so
those panels eventually get released online. Like, the Star Wars panel, I think, was released like right away. The Game of Thrones panel always gets put up online. They started doing packages, like VOD packages for some panels. And when I was waiting in line for Hall H, they were conducting interviews about what Comic-Con goers would like to see in VOD packages. Like, they were, like, taking volunteers on the lines and and asking them what they would want for future packages. So I think that's going to be a thing in the future where who do you even buy TV packages from? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Like, what's cable? I don't know anymore.
How does it work? I don't understand.
I don't know.
What's entertainment?
I've heard about it. I don't know, but, like, cable, because there is that sort of on-demand experience that you can have with your cable box and whatnot, but I don't know. Like, it should just be all made to go on their website or whatever.
Right, but they want to keep people paying.
Sure. Sure, but like, I don't know, HBO Go is an exclusive service. Maybe it should be made available on that, on their service. And maybe we could just like go to the channels and sites that we want to and subscribe to that.
Like a Comic-Con Go?
Comic-Con
yeah,
Go.
Sure.
Yeah.
It'd probably be cheaper for them to partner with like DirecTV or something.
But you could see that they already have the infrastructure. Can you imagine that? What if they had, okay, what if they were like, we're rolling out virtual Comic-Con where if you pay $35 you can spend
experience Comic-Con on the Oculus Rift.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't done that yet, actually. You know what I mean? Like,
give it time.
You could monetize Comic-Con further by doing that, but I guess people would probably have a problem with that.
Yeah, well, definitely.
We're just not there yet. There's not enough Rifts out there.
No.
It wouldn't have to be that. Well, I mean, it could just be a website where you have all the trailers and all the exclusive Comic-Con
I think that's
stuff.
Coming. I think that's inevitable.
Yeah.
They'll definitely hold stuff back to make people who go into the convention still feel special, but why not? Mm-hmm. If they can make more money by posting trailers, then why not?
It's so creepy, though. Because that's like when you go to watch a trailer on YouTube and then there's a commercial in front of it. And you're like, really? There's a commercial in front of the commercial I'm watching? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
That's what we've come to. You're selling advertising space on advertisements.
All the YouTube videos I've watched in the past 2 weeks have been for, like, toilet paper. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why, YouTube? What do you think? Why? What about the algorithm that I've created makes you keep showing me toilet paper commercials?
Yeah, I was going to point out that I was going to point out that they're targeted, so maybe there's something that you were either searching for or doing in your life that,
We all go. Why not enjoy the go?
Yeah.
I've seen those commercials so much.
Well, I've been getting a lot of ads for Budweiser and beers that I don't drink. I guess it's because I'm in Grand Rapids, Beer City, USA. The massive chain beers don't want to get forgotten about for their mediocre taste. Mm.
Sure. And I'm in Toilet Paper City, USA.
Yeah, sure.
LA, man.
Toilet Paper City, that's what they call it, you know.
It's a dump.
Oh,
hey, man, you don't know Grand Rapids. You don't know my life.
I've never been to Grand Rapids. Nice place, Grand Rapids.
You should come. It's a nice place. A lot of cool stuff. It is grand. It's the grandest of rapids.
Are there actual rapids?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What if you call it Grand Raptors? And like
Grand Raptors.
Grand Raptors.
Well, no, our sports teams are the Grand Rapids Griffins. That's our hockey team.
Nicole, what did you think about the Jurassic Park movie?
Oh my god. It was so much fun. I love dinosaurs, and oh my god, was it sexist.
It was
an hour-long Mercedes ad.
Yes, it was.
It was just the running theme was women are going to be happy when they have children, and they should put their work aside. And if you're bossy, even though you're the boss, you're a bitch.
Yeah.
Even though you're the boss.
Shouldn't be bossy.
You know, even though you're the boss,
right.
You're still bossy. But also, you should buy a Mercedes.
So that's the message you got.
Right, but dinosaurs are rad as hell. So
and because, I know, you know, I gotta say, like, everything about the movie was really stupid and bad, except for when the dinosaurs were attacking everything. It was like, yeah, it was all worth it.
And then the dinosaurs, like, started communicating, and I'm like, all right, well, let's just put science aside for a little bit.
I know, yeah, whatever,
then, like,
okay.
Then they gave the dinosaur the ability to, like, camouflage, and they used that, like, once.
Right?
Like, what a throwaway, like, line. Like, that could have been so cool.
It had.
He could have camouflaged into a Mercedes.
Well, then he'd be a transformer. He'd be a Dinobot.
I'm like, crossover.
Grimlock.
So
Grimlock
how many people got to get killed by giant dinosaurs before they stop making it an amusement park?
Right.
Like,
well,
you think, like once or twice, you'd be like, you know what? It's not working out, you guys.
Well, I mean,
give them the permits this time.
How many people die at Disneyland? Park? Like real talk, over the course of Disneyland. How many people have died there?
You know what? You're right. Like, 6 or 7 people have died.
Yeah, and, like, how many people have died at Jurassic Park? Okay, probably more.
More, but still, there's no dinosaurs at Disneyland. So, you know what?
If you take the train.
Well, sure. Or if you take that riverboat. That's a hippopotamus, isn't it?
They're ancient.
Yeah.
You know, Disneyland I love, even though there are crowds.
I love Disneyland.
Me too.
Oh, my God. Can we do an episode about Disneyland?
We can. Oh, my God. We totally should.
Yeah, let's do it right now.
Okay.
So I mean, like, Disneyland is a crafted experience, right? And, like, Comic-Con seems to be thrown together. Like, it's just like, okay, you're coming. Okay, we'll give you a table and a booth, and we'll set you up in Hall H or whatever. And, I don't know, like, the thing is, like, Disneyland is an amusement park, right? And it's a theme park. That's what it is. It's not an amusement park. Because you go there for, like, the theme, the atmosphere, and all that stuff.
And the churros.
And the churros. And it's a grand old time. And Comic-Con seems to be, I don't know, indoors and packed and more anime.
There's similar elements, I think. But, yeah, there's definitely something catered about Disneyland that and taken care of, where Comic-Con, I mean, it's great, but yeah, everything is thrown together. You have basically Wednesday to set up your stuff until Wednesday at 6 when preview night starts, and then you have to be done. So any kind of, like, cared for experience, you know, that, you know, the aesthetic they put together, like, that's not a thing.
And then there's not going to be any experiences like that. The people that are providing the experience for the consumers have a different motivation. I mean, at Disneyland, they're generally trying to provide you with a magical, entertaining time because you've already paid your admission.
Yeah.
Whereas Comic-Con, they're trying to hype their new movie, or they're trying to sell whatever they're trying to sell. You know what I mean? Where,
I mean, like, Disneyland is still trying to sell you stuff.
I just hate capitalism, like, I think. My problem is with capitalism at its very most basic level.
Sure.
I think we should smash the state.
Yeah. Right.
Time to
who is the perfect society? I mean, is it Denmark? Is it like
Switzerland?
Finland? Yeah. I mean, one of those areas.
I think France,
Iceland's
but I
up
say
there.
The perfect society.
No, France is, well, they're French.
I think we've said enough, like, about that. I mean, come on.
Yep. Anyhow,
I love French people and France itself. Partially because so many people are like, well, it's France. I'm like, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Awesome. Like, I say that as a joke, and I don't know a single mean French person. I've never had a negative experience with anything French. I've never even had a bad French fry, but I still know to make the joke, like, oh, French.
It's a lazy joke.
I just know that's a thing. Yeah, it's all it is.
I don't know anybody. Have you ever known anybody that, like, went to Paris or went to somewhere in the south of France and said, like, well, that sucked?
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Who's ever said that?
Yeah. And another thing is, too, like, because of my Shenmue guy fame, I've met several French people, and they're pretty cool.
You've met people from all... What other countries have responded to your Shenmue? What country has responded strongestly? The most strongestly?
Strongestly.
Who has responded strongestly to your position as Shenmue guy?
A lot of people from the Middle East, actually.
Really?
Which is, it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sort of blown away by that. I don't know why. That's strange.
Because you never hear, you always hear news from that part of the world that's always so negative that you sometimes forget that most of it is just, like, normal people.
Sure.
Just like us, like, but you don't realize that because all you hear is the news.
They have Dreamcasts, too, so...
I don't have a Dreamcast. What year is it?
It's far past that time. Rest in peace, Dreamcast. Oh, I'm sad now.
Sad for the Dreamcast?
Yeah, I'm sad for the Dreamcast. It was amazing. And everyone overlooked it because they're like, oh, it can't play DVDs, but my PlayStation 2 can. And it also doesn't have Final Fantasy. Whatever.
You're still angry and you should really let it go now.
No, it's not. Shenmue is alive, man.
Anger leads to fear.
No, fear leads to anger.
Or is fear lead to anger?
Fear leads to anger, anger leads to
the dark side.
Yeah, I don't know, but
whatever.
I know that first you get the money, then you get the women. No, wait.
Then you get the problems?
No, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the women.
And then you get problems.
And then you have mo money and mo problems.
Mo problems.
And on that note,
we can end today's episode. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Scott Pell.
I'm Steve Johnson.
I'm Nicole Zavalich.
And this has been Old Geek, Young Geek. Thank you so much for listening. We love you so much.
Yes. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye. And if you like today's podcast, let us know. Send us a tweet at OldGeekYoungGeek on Twitter, or send us an email at OldGeekYoungGeek@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.